Hello and welcome to Rainer Hirsch's Problems in the Pub. My name is Rainer Hirsch and this is my deeply unofficial podcast about the BBC Proms, neither commissioned nor authorised by the BBC. Today is a rather unusual day in that we're actually not in the pub. We are on location outside the Royal Albert Hall. Where else? It is a moderate 24 degrees. Last of the sunshine is disappearing from the sky, and we wanted to talk to promenaders. The idea of promenade concerts was one that started in the 18th and 19th century. That's basically the idea of enabling people to attend concerts cheaply by ripping out all the seats and making them stand. And that began in earnest at the Queen's Hall just north of Oxford Circus with what was originally known as the Queen's Hall Promenade Concerts and eventually turned into the Henry Woods. And now here we are, 100 and something years later. What is it that drives people to this spot to stand for hours to hear what? A concert that they could otherwise pay for, even in the cheap seats? What is it that drives the particular group of people that come here day in, day out as season ticket holders? We're alongside a balustrade which runs up to the Albert Hall and up some steps. And at the end of it, there was a sign saying arena queue starts here. And there are 30 or 35 people gathered waiting for their chance to get into the proms. Some of them obviously know one another. Some of them are sort of proms virgins, dare I say, not quite sure what to do. We're going to have a chat with one or two of them now. Now, tell me, do you go to concerts elsewhere in the year?
I don't, simply because of my work. You know, I'm a teacher, 70 hours a week the rest of the year teaching, so yeah. I tend to concentrate all my concerts in the summer this time.
Right.
Plus the fact is, I mean, the proms is special because you get to stand right in front of the orchestra, right. So you get a great sound there.
Well, you do, but only if you're a bit crazy about your queuing thing.
It's part of it, isn't it?
It is. Well, it is. Describe to me the process, because I've been coming here for yonks, but never quite knew what the story was in terms of what you had to, when you had to turn up and all that.
Well, it changes. That's the thing. I mean, this year you get here by 9, pick up a raffle ticket, that gives you position in the queue, and that's really basically it this year. It's very simple. Yeah. So you can go away after that. I mean, once you got raffle ticket, you can go away, go home, or
do you
whatever.
Have to queue for the raffle ticket?
Yeah.
How long?
Depends.
Yeah.
I don't
know. We don't normally arrive until about 8:30.
Yes.
So you get down here at 8:30.
Yeah.
A queue forms.
Yeah.
At a certain point, after they think you've suffered enough, they come down with raffle tickets.
Well, they come out exactly 9:00 is the answer.
Okay, yeah. They come at 9:00.
To the second.
So obviously, the earlier you get there, the better your raffle ticket number is going to be.
Yeah.
And then what happens with your raffle ticket number?
It's just your position in the queue, really. Yeah, I mean, they might check it sometimes when we go into the hall. They might not, because, I mean, they know us already, I think. I don't think, you know, they kind of trust us now. Yeah, seen us for years and years, so. You feel part of history, don't you? I mean, you're continuing a tradition, and, you know, we've met fantastic promos, and some of them have passed away, and you kind of continue on that tradition.
Right.
You know, so yeah, you do feel part of the tradition.
So you make friends within the other promos?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, not so much now. I mean, when we used to queue all day, it was much easier. It was a different atmosphere, but we're kind of losing it a bit now, aren't we? Yeah.
So obviously, in Britain, we're known for our queues. I always joke that my parents met in a queue. I was born in a queue. It was the same queue. But here, this is something else. It's actually elevated into an art form itself, in the sense that it is part of the artistic experience of the proms. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. It's not like going to a normal concert, is it? I mean, socialising and meeting people once a year. You only see them in the proms, and then you meet them next July when the proms start again. I think that's all part of it, yeah.
You don't meet outside the proms?
Some people do, but I tend not to.
And so you must spend pretty much the whole day doing this during the time of the proms. Because you have to get in the morning, you know, let's say 8:30 or whenever, and then you're back here now. Forgive me, do you have partners, wives, husbands lurking?
Yes, yeah, indeed, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
What does P. She think?
She's very tolerant now of it.
Widows.
Yes, that's right. Prompt widows, we call them, exactly. Yeah.
Right. Hilary, nice to meet you. I do recognise you, actually.
Yes, I've been prompting for over 40 years, so you should do.
Well, there we go. Why did you start? What started you off?
I love classical music and I like to be amongst other fellow classical music lovers.
Absolutely. And you come, how many concerts a year?
Well, in the proms, I probably average around 40 to 45.
That's not bad.
I do avoid one particular composer, though.
Who's that?
Wagner.
Oh, okay.
I'm Jewish, I won't listen to his music.
Oh, really?
There's somebody woke the dog up.
Somebody broke it. Well, you know, that's obviously a big theme amongst Jewish people about,
yes.
You know, George Scholte, who was also Jewish, and, yes. You know, his members of his family were persecuted, his parents carted off. You used to say, well, you know, when you consider how beautiful this music is, you can do anything you want with it. Not
no,
you.
No, I will not listen to it.
So tell me, you come to 40 a year, you do buy a season ticket?
Yes, I've had a season ticket every year since I started promming.
Wow, how much is that?
Well, I mean, I can't remember what it was back when I first started in 1980, but it's £250, which gets you into 74 to 75 concerts, something like that.
Do you come for the last night as well?
Yes, every year. Yes, well, apart from a couple of years at the beginning, I do come every year to the last night.
But on normal days, you come down here for the very early morning?
Well, the raffle tickets are issued at 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't usually get here that early, though I probably will on Wednesday and probably for the Berlin Phil to get near to the front. If you don't mind where you are, you can turn up at any time.
Yeah.
But you get a raffle ticket for your place in the queue. And as I say, if you want to be at the front, then you'll be here early in the morning to get a low raffle ticket number. If you don't mind being at the back, then you can turn up 15, 20 minutes before the concert starts, or even literally 5 minutes before the concert starts.
What is it about being at the front?
Well, for me, it enables me to actually hold onto a rail and stand up because I have medical issues, which mean if I'm not on the rail, I can't stand up for the whole concert.
Yeah.
So that's why I normally do, or if not, I will sit on the side.
But this is 2022, Hilary. Mm-hmm. 1980, Hilary wouldn't have said that. Did you stand?
No.
Did you turn up for the front then?
I can't remember where. I probably was able to stand for the whole concert without being at the front, but now I'm a lot older.
Right. They don't allow you to kind of bring, you know, one of those shooting stools.
No,
that wouldn't be playing the game.
No, exactly.
Now, over those 40 years, you must have met lots of people, you know, who become your friends at the proms.
Yeah, well, some are still here, some not still here.
Yeah, some, so it changes over time, of course.
Yes, I mean, obviously some people get married, have families, move away, something, or jobs.
Queuing is obviously...
It was part of it. That's how you met friends, and that's what makes it different to any other event or any other series of classical concerts.
Do you think it makes more British?
I wouldn't have said it's anything to do with nationality, no.
Because British seems to... You know, Britain is associated with politely queuing. I don't mean that in a bad way. You need to go to some, you know, Germany where the essence of queuing is who's got the sharpest elbow.
Yes.
I mean that seriously. I'm not joking. Do you think there's a community spirit? Which
I think
Britain,
it was. I don't think it's anything to do with nationality. It was just a social aspect. People would be here during the day, and it made it more sociable and more friendly. And that's how people became friends, by meeting in the queue.
What is it about this, the proms? What is the special about the proms for you?
I think it's the camaraderie, because you know a lot of people in the arena, etc.
Yeah.
The variety of music.
Yeah.
It's tremendously various throughout the whole season.
But the queue ticket thing, it's only about position, it strikes me.
Correct.
Have I got that is completely right. So if you basically want to be at the front or on the rail, that's why you were queued.
Yeah, they used not to have it and it was chaos, so they put that in.
Right.
So to give some, so there's no arguments.
Explain it as if to a 5-year-old child, because
I can tell you, it was chaos. It used to be, because we used to have a day queue and a season ticket queue, and there was always a fight. Oh, you got in before me, and this, that, and the other. So,
but between the people who
they put everything in one queue, and then with the queue, with the numbers, there's none of this. Oh, well, I was here before you.
Do you mind me asking how old you are?
I'm 65.
Right, and you, how old are you?
I'm 64.
I'm 59, let's get out of the way.
Yeah.
So, So you being Eminem, obviously when you started, you know...
In the 80s, you were in your 20s.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And were you, you know, was there a higher proportion then? Have you just grown up
It was. Let me just think about that. There were a lot of younger people, I think, you know, in the arena at that time.
They feel fine because of health and safety rules that they've cut the numbers down as well. Because in the old days, literally, they would just cram everybody into the prominent area, and it was probably too many people in there. I've seen people pass out in there before.
Yeah, it used to be pretty full, didn't it?
Yeah. They used to literally cram people in. They probably can't do that.
Yeah. No. I don't think I've come to a single prom where somebody hasn't collapsed in the arena.
Just recently, there's been a few.
Yeah, I've been to three standing in the arena. Somebody's collapsed on each other. Sometimes because they were drunk.
Yeah, they collapsed on the handle, didn't they? There was, yeah, yeah, that's another right. one.
I just came down on Thursday for my first ones this year. So,
okay.
It's been nice to come back, see all the familiar faces again. Everyone sort of vaguely recall our names, and so it's been good.
How long have you been coming?
Since 2003.
So relatively new.
Compared to most of these people, I'm a mere ingenue, yes.
Yeah. I couldn't understand, you've got a raffle ticket there.
Yes, 158.
So you got here at...
Well, I sort of stayed... I came for the Indian ragas this morning, yeah. So I've got my ticket for that, so that's why I sort of placed in the queue. So.
Tell me about the dynamics of the queue. What is your what's your philosophy?
Well, it's
of
all
queue?
It's all changed this year, of course, with the new system, because they've changed the, now you just get your ticket online. So it's all, in many ways. I was just chatting this last night with some old timers. You know, there was a big sense of community here sort of 20 years ago because you queued all day and you got chatting to people in the queue. And it's sort of not quite the same these days. I think they don't necessarily want people hanging around the hall all day, or maybe for security reasons or whatever. So it's changed. I mean, you still come here for the music, and I'm fortunate that I've been coming here long enough that I know enough people already. But I do sometimes wonder for people who just started coming for the first time this year, they might not get the chance to meet as many people in the queue as they did. I always maintain that the proms really, it's a social club with a concert series attached. That's always been my view. Obviously, you come for the concerts and you stay because you meet friends and for the banter and the reviewing and the debriefing of what happened last night. Do you see that ludicrous display last night? Or what was that first violinist doing on the fourth entry? So that kind of thing.
It's that detailed.
Some of them. I mean, I'm not that quite that level, but some of them are really, people there for the scores, they'll analyse it all to the nth degree, like you would a football match.
That there was, there were times when there was a lot more interaction between the promos en masse and the audience. Remember those days when they were the shouts that go up? Now it seems to be heave-ho, round of applause for the A.
Yes, yes.
Not much more. And the shout about the charity.
Charities. I mean, there are stories going by of, more legendary banter between, the audience and the promos, so...
Is there a sense in which these guys here don't regard themselves actually as part of the audience? Because you talked about it is a social gathering with a concert series attached. But hang on a second, the promos, great and central though they are still only a small percentage of the audience for whom, the concert is what's happening on the stage. Do you think there's a sense in which there's that camaraderie you talk about actually emanates from a feeling that you are somehow different?
I wouldn't say different. I think that's perhaps going a bit too far. But, I think it's sort of those are the diehards, aren't they? There's the diehard fans. You get diehard football fans, you get diehard concert fans. In many ways, it's fandom, isn't it? So like all things, you'll get different levels. You get people, you used to go to the football, you used to stand on the terraces for 4 hours, then you get the people who go to the box, the fancy box, and I sort of think it's similar in many ways,
So it brings that spirit into an event which normally doesn't
happen. That's what I always maintain about the proms, that's what makes it so unique. You do get that level of, enthusiasm. I think it was Roddy Williams who said, when he walks out on the stage, he's just greeted by this wall of enthusiasm. I think that's perhaps the best way that anyone's actually put it, I think, definitely. Because it is, especially people on the front row, it's a wall of enthusiasm. I think it's the best description of it.
Why is standing, why is position so important?
Yeah, that's a good question, isn't it? Well, yeah. Because people like to have their spots, you know. It's some people are more determined to get their position than others. It's the fight for the rail is, of course, the main thing. Some people can get quite upset that they get here early, but they don't get on the rail. So there can be a bit of, you know, I think that's that coveted things. You know, it's very much sort of there's the rail, and once you don't get on the rail. Yeah, I mean, I'm not on the rail this evening, and I'm seeing the queue go up and think, well, I'm not on the rail, so it doesn't really matter, you know, sort of third or fourth back, it's not so much of a problem. But that's that coveted rail spot can be quite hard fought over, yeah, definitely.
Only about 25 people can stand on
Well, that's it, that's it, that's why it's so fought after, yeah, yeah.
But some people, they will do whatever it takes.
Well, I mean, they still come, even though with the different ticketing, different queuing system this year, they still come, you know, 9 o'clock to get those early raffle ticket numbers so that they can get on the rail. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, where else do you get to hear such great music for such a reasonable price? I mean, I always go back to the 2013, the Ring Cycle, you know, for £35. I got to hear a Baron Boyham Ring Cycle with the greatest cast of European singers. You know, if I wanted to see that as someone who bought the tickets, I mean, that would be hundreds of pounds, and people on the arena. Yes, we had to stand for 20 hours, and yes, several people had to attend several courses of physiotherapy afterwards to recover from the fact that they had to stand for 20 hours over the course of a week, but they still got to experience it. You know, where else? It's totally unique, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really interesting perspective.
You know, it's one of those things, if they created it now, it wouldn't be allowed. You know, can you imagine the health security bias car codes that must be broken, you know? But since it's a tradition, it's acceptable. But yeah, try introduce it now, and you might struggle, I think.
Well, how interesting that was to talk to some people who have a connection, probably in some cases, greater than with members of their own family, with people who come and watch concerts just the same. Clearly, the Proms is the Prommers. It's contained in the title. It's inconceivable that this event would have the atmosphere that it does. It's inconceivable to me that it would have the longevity that it enjoys without this group of people who generation after generation, and that's really what it is. They hand the baton to people coming behind, and in so doing, ensure the continuance of this most remarkable of artistic enterprises. One is bound to ask a little bit whether this is musical train spotting they're engaged in. But everybody we asked knew approximately what was going to happen tonight, and this is just being asked off the cuff amongst concerts which they've attended probably already 20 or 30 already. They see themselves, I think, as something special. That's something also I've taken away from this experience. I did ask one of our interviewees, do they regard themselves as members of the audience at all? Well, they do. But there's a famous set of chants that go up from the arena to the audience. Arena to audience, they announce, and then they say how much money they raise for their charities. In the old days, it used to be jokes and funny remarks about what was happening in the hall, but arena to audience suggests to me that the people in the arena do not feel themselves part of the audience. I must also add that we are doing this not only outside the auspices of the BBC, but as it turns out, outside the auspices of the Albert Hall, who have moved us on. We are no longer standing outside the Albert Hall. We're standing on a road about 200 yards away from the Albert Hall, where we are no longer on Albert Hall land. I think that's something that Oliver, the ticket tout, mentioned they like to move him on. One is bound to ask, why? What difference does it make? Well, the computer says no, and we've had to move off. So that's our experience. We'll be going into the concert to enjoy the music ourselves. Meantime, our regular special guest, Harry the Piano, has been considering the dedication of hardcore Prommers who basically devote every waking minute to attending seasons here at the Albert Hall. And he's been combining that with thoughts of Ludwig van Beethoven. So it's Cole Porter's Night and Day, such as must be dedicated to this enterprise by Prommers, mixed with Ludwig van Beethoven. Before I go, please spread the word, share this podcast, subscribe Wherever you get your podcasts, I think is the verbiage, and you can always get in touch with us at www.promsinthepub.co.uk. Until next time, from here, live 200 yards away from the Albert Hall, goodbye.